Michelangelo once said, "The greatest danger for most of us is not that our aim is too high and we miss it, but that it's too low and we reach it." Welcome to Life Talk with Jesse Meester. As an international actor, entrepreneur, and world traveler with millions of followers, Jesse seeks to speak and learn from the most insightful, successful people in the world, sharing love and life together. This is Life Talk, and this is your host, Jesse Meester.
All right, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Life Talk. Thank you for yet another episode. You hear a baby on the background. That is not me, but the baby of my amazing friend and brother, Michael Lynch. Who I got to know while working together on things that I cannot specifically mention how and when, but all make sense in the future. Michael, welcome to Life Talk. How are you?
Hey, dude, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. It's fun to be able to catch up with you and talk about life stuff.
Amazing, man. Absolutely. As you know, a little background about this show is, I want it to be about interesting people like yourself. And I, you know, when I got to know you, you didn't just have an interesting story, but you also have a passion for something that some of you listening actually might know it. It's called magic cards. And can you a little bit like explain a little bit like who you are? How did you get into what you do now? So people understand a little bit about the background.
Yeah. So I'm a filmmaker. I work in both films and TV in various capacities. I have directed a couple feature films. You know, some are available online. One is a comedy called Dependence Day. I also did a documentary about turning victims of child sex abuse into victors. So I've had a very varied background as far as that goes. I'm also a union camera operator. So it's another way that I'm able to make money out in the real world. And while traveling the world on a TV show, a friend of mine reintroduced me to Magic the Gathering, which is a card game. So while we were flying, we had like an 8-hour flight flying to Newfoundland, Canada. And that's where he was like, finally convinced me to play Magic on the plane. And, you know, 8-hour flights normally long and boring. And by the end of the flight, you know, they're telling us to put the tray tables up. And we're like, no, we need to get in one more game. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of where, you know, my obsession with Magic the Gathering started. And then I got my wife into it because she's really big into games. And then we started going to local gaming stores. We started meeting other people that played Magic. And we kept just meeting really great people that we kept really connecting with. By just sitting down, playing cards, laughing and having fun. And then I felt like I saw in the real world that there was a stigma against Magic and people really weren't seeing what this game really was. And they were judging it by a couple people that they thought, you know, they're judging certain people. So I wanted to make a show that showed what I felt Magic is, how much fun it is to play with friends. So that's when I basically made the show I Hate Your Deck, and we shot the first episode in December, released it in January. So, you know, in January we had no subscribers, we had no patrons, and after the first episode, I think we ended up getting in that first month around 15,000 subscribers just off that first episode. Right. And you know, it's a lot. And fast forward to today, where we just dropped our biggest episode, it's only been 2 days and we already have 86,000 views and we've gained like 3,000 subscribers in the last couple of days. So now we're at 33,400 subscribers and we have over 800 patrons.
Wow. That is incredible. So I'm like super excited here on the end of the mic. And why? Because I know many of you, you know, part of my Patreon or part of my inner circle on Facebook groups We've talked a lot about digital creator economies, and right here you hear Michael speak about starting something from an idea, a passion, and now monetizing that. Is it something, Michael, you now are like, you don't have to say specifically what and how much, but could you live from that, what you're earning right now?
I think we're getting very close. Yeah. Because I split my revenue with my partner. My partner lives a little bit, has a smaller place. So my partner is now paying all the rent from our money that we're making. There's still a lot of gear that I want to purchase. So I'm using a lot of the money to buy more camera gear, kind of upgrade. And then after that's finished, which we should be able to do that this year, then I can just use the money to, help pay rent or help do stuff. Cause we also, because our numbers are so good, we are having a lot of advertisers approach us so we can sell ads. Mm-hmm. And some of the ads that we're selling, it's like for 1 minute, we can charge like, $3,000 to $4,000 for a 1 minute commercial. Okay. So I think that's another spot that we're going to start doing really well, is not only do we have ads on our video, but now we are actually having companies that want to put ads into our video in addition to the YouTube ads. So I think all that kind of stuff is going to help it become a place where we can be like a legit production, went from just, two guys with an idea to, we're making content that people desperately want to see. And we're filling a niche, because our show is very different than other shows, that it, is also changing the game. We're also, trying to really change to show how diverse magic can be. So I think that's a big thing. We're making sure that we have women magic players. My co-host is Black, and we're also trying to bring a lot of people of color on the show. Mm-hmm. So that people don't think, only white, only nerdy white fat people play magic. And I'm not dissing on that, but that's kind of the stigma, is that you only have these plumber cracks and neckbeards that play, versus like, dude, anyone can play magic. Magic is about English and math, and got cool art. That's all it is. It's a fun game. It's a very complex game. You really get to, work your brain out with it. So I think that's a big reason why people are connecting with us, is, they're looking at us. We look like normal people to them, and we're showing people that how to have fun. And I think we're also teaching some of these people who might not have a lot of friends how to play a game with friends. Mm-hmm. Because some people I don't think have learned that ability on how to really interact with friends. So I think that because our show is hitting all of these little points, I think that's why we're doing so well. And I think that's why, a lot of people basically want to see our show go weekly, because right now we are every 2 weeks. So every 2 weeks we drop a new video on Friday. So we call it I Hate Your Deck Fridays. Every 2 weeks, yeah, on Friday. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of our fans who want us to go weekly. And the only way to do that is if we're making more money, so that, Joe and I can continue to shoot enough episodes to do that and have enough time to edit them in post to be able to handle that workflow. So, and that's what has really inspired a lot of the Patreons. And then another thing that has gotten people in our Patreon to stay in our Patreon is that Joe and I have a Patreon-only Discord, and in the Discord, they get to actually talk to us. They get to play magic with us. So that's a pretty big thing.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah. Is they'll want to play, like a lot of our fans want to be able to play magic with us. And the only way that we say you can do that is if you're a patron. And then we met randomly playing our Discord. So our Discord now has become like a local gaming store, where you get to show up. There's a lot of our friends and a lot of other guests we'll have in our Discord, and then all of our patrons. And then they're getting to interact with each other. We're talking about how to build decks. And then every Thursday we do a commander day. So every Thursday we play with all of our patrons and we get a lot of pods going. So we basically built a really good community that is just full of people from all over the world, which is pretty impressive. And we literally have tons of fans. I mean, when I look at the analytics, I can't believe how many countries there are. People are always like, hi from Germany, you know, hi from South Africa, hi from Japan, hi from Brazil, you know. So it's been really cool to have people from all over the world, and we're able to jam Magic games with them. You know, some people, you know, joined the Patreon for a month and said they were going to leave until they felt the community and felt embraced by that. So I think by us not just making a channel, but by also fostering a community, is continuing was to help us grow. And, you know, again, since, you know, I think there's a lot of young kids who play games to win versus to have fun. And if they lose, they get very salty. We've all seen heard the jokes about when, you know, a family game of Monopoly causing huge drama and people flipping tables. So,
yeah,
you know, I think another thing that we're trying to do with our show is, yeah, it's called I Hate Your Deck, and you get to see a deck really pop off. But it's also about showing that it's okay to lose, and it's okay to have fun watching someone else combo out or watching someone else do something spectacular. So I really hope too with our show that what we're also trying to do is we're really trying to help educate these younger Magic players how to be good people, you know. And we've had a lot of fans come to us and say, you guys have really taught me how to lose gracefully. I used to get really upset, and now I can look at someone else winning and be like, wow, good job, man. So, you know, I really do feel and hope that we're trying to change the community, trying to educate the community in a very positive fashion. And right now, I think what is happening is we just keep growing right now because people see that we're authentically, and as you mentioned earlier, my passion, that there is no hidden agenda with our show. The agenda with our show is let's have fun playing Magic and teach people how to do it the right way.
That's just how it started, right? Like just two friends like playing Magic cards, right? Like, I mean, and now, like, because that's a very big thing, right? Like, did all your following grow from your YouTube?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Our whole following grew from our YouTube. Because, you know, my co-host had basically just joined social media. He'd not been on social media, even though he's an actor. So, you know, and now he's got like over 10,000 TikTok subscribers, and you know, I think his Instagram's up there too. So yeah, the YouTube sent us through the roof. And you know, we just keep getting, you know, I get people finding me on Facebook all the time. Facebook, I keep more private, so I don't add people there, but I allow people to add me on, obviously, Twitter and Instagram. But it's you know, when I was flying home from a shoot, I was on the plane, and I always do editing on the plane, and I had a person behind me goes, oh my God, are you Mike Lynch from I Hate Your Deck?
I love that.
And I turned around, Jesse, yeah. And I was like, what? I was like, you watch the show? He goes, I'm really sorry, I wasn't trying to sneak and see what you're editing. And I was like, but I couldn't help but notice, and I just had to say something. And I was just like, well, thanks for watching the show. Go ahead.
Amazing, man. I love that.
Right.
Yeah, because this is a big thing, man. Like, I was gonna ask you about this because a lot of times people are like, well, Jesse, easy talking because you know, you are known and, you know, you already have an established following and super fans and whatever you do, you know, like the book I brought out, they're going to buy it regardless. Like, you know, whether it's good or not. And in some way it's true, but also not. Like to give you an example, you might have a big following on TikTok, Instagram or Facebook, but it doesn't necessarily convert to YouTube or to Twitter. You know, like for myself, my YouTube is really just YouTube, and not many people are converting from my other socials. But same with TikTok. You can have millions of followers on TikTok and people have 20,000 or 30,000 followers on Instagram, you know? So this is a big thing also for anybody listening. Like, it, yes, having a big established following helps, but like Michael here just explained, you know, for him, he just built it up, like, from not being a public figure, from not having that pre-existing fan base, to now having, what is it, 33,000 subscribers?
Yeah, 33,000. So,
yeah, that's like, that's wild, man. I got a lot of respect for that. And that's where, you know, I think the organic growth, because a lot of people ask that, like, but how are you start? You know, is it still possible to organically grow? It's hard. No, it is very much possible. And people will recognize the authenticity, which they are with you. And that's why I love this story so much.
I mean, that's something that I want to say, that I think me and Joe keep like pinching ourselves. We're just like, wow, how did this happen? Because it's not like Magic Gathering is short of content. Like, there are so many content people that are creating Magic content. And so a lot of these people have been doing it for 5 years. And or 5 to 2 years, they've only got 1,000 subscribers or 2,000. And a lot of those people have messaged us, some in genuine curiosity and some really angry and jealous, saying, how in 7 months have you gotten 33,000 subscribers? We deserve that. You don't deserve that. Like, we've straight up had people message us in anger about that. And, you know, we look at what they're making and it's like, well, you're not making good content.
True.
You know, you're just, you know, you're doing X, Y, Z, and me and Joe are going above and beyond. We're shooting with 4K cameras. We're lighting the scene. We're shooting in person. We're not just doing webcam. So it's like, we're creating a whole show, you know, with professional gear, taking all the professional knowledge that I've acquired, you know, over the last 20 years. So I think that's the other thing that I think we're doing different. And like I said, you know, we just dropped a new video with the professor of Tolarian College. The professor of Tolarian College is the biggest Magic content creator there is. He does reviews on deck boxes. He does reviews on sleeves. He does reviews on any product that comes out Magic the Gathering related. And he does videos that teach people how to play Magic. So his content's very different than ours, because our content is a gameplay. You just get to see us playing the game and talking trash. You know, his show, he doesn't play Magic on his show. He educates, teaches, and then sometimes does fun skits where he has someone cosplay as a Magic player and he does a skit with them as if they're real life, you know, if the Magic character is here in real life with him. So we had him on our show, and you know, normally it takes us about a week to hit 50,000 views. You know, here we are 2 days in and we're at 86, almost 87,000. I just refreshed. It says 88. We're at 88,000 views right now.
Incredible.
And we've gained over 3,000 subscribers in these last 2 days from this new video.
Amazing.
So, you know, with the professor being on the show, and people are getting to see the professor in a different light on our show. So there's other shows out there that really try to script and, you know, keep their games fair and balanced. And our show doesn't do that. That's why our show is called I Hate Your Deck. We just let people play whatever decks they have. Sometimes one deck is a lot stronger than the other, which is real life. On our show, since we trash talk, you know, we do have swearing on our show. And it's hilarious because in the comments of our new video, I want to say we probably have like 500. We have almost 1,000 comments already in 2 days. But I want to say like almost 500 of the comments are, oh my God, hearing the professor swear brought me life, you know, because they've never on his show. He never swears because his show is very family friendly. You know, our show is like the adult version, like come and play with the adults.
I love it.
So, you know, people are losing their mind that, that, you know, someone was going to do something to the professor and he's like, just fucking relax. Let me have this. And he had like a nice little like freak out moment. And our fans are just loving it. And all these people that maybe were fans of his show that didn't know about our show, because he was so kind, obviously, you know, tweet out about it, you know, being on our show and check it out. That we gained all, you know, these 3,000 new people probably all came from his channel, you know, to now check out our channel. And then they watched our channel, saw what our channel is about, saw that we're unfiltered, saw that we just played degenerate decks. And now they're really excited. I mean, the biggest quote and compliment we keep getting on our show is that our show is the most authentic Magic the Gathering gameplay show there is, that really shows what it's like to play Commander with friends. Because like I said, certain other shows, not to diss them, but they will look at every deck list, they'll make sure the decks are perfectly even, and they'll play the game in a way that comes off as very scripted. You know, like they're being forced to do things and they're not saying certain things. They're not as comfortable. And, you know, our show's very, very raw. So when we bring new guests on our show, if they're public figure guests like the professor or Kyle Hill or the NFL football player Cassius Marsh. So when we get some of these more celebrities on our show, they've seen these people on their own channels or they've seen these people on other famous Magic content channels, but they've never seen the real exposed raw side like they do on our show.
Yes.
And they everyone's like, wow, I can't believe Cassius is having so much fun. He usually looks like in the other shows, he's not having fun, you know, or wow, professor is swearing. We've never seen this side of the professor before. So I think that's also special too. And we still also bring just new people. We don't just have celebrities in our show, because we bring me and my co-host Joe, we bring our friends, because I think that's important too. But it is funny because we had some comments literally since this new episode saying, how the hell did Joe and Lynch go from nobodies in this industry to in 6 months being full celebrities of this community?
Yes, I love it.
We're now sponsored by Channel Fireball, and Channel Fireball is one of the biggest Magic sponsors there is. That they sponsor all the pro players.
Wow.
So, you know, we're not doing too shabby right now, man. And luckily we're just doing what I love to do.
This is my next question, right? How do you do it? And for anybody listening, like I saw what you do, but I want you to try to explain this, because I saw you editing at breakfast. I saw you always working. And then as far as your love life, what I loved about you so much, you always had the home front on the phone, always FaceTiming. Yeah. Like, to tell me about it. Like, and for the people listening, like, how do you do that with your filming and editing all combined?
Yeah, well, I mean, as you know, like I travel the world and I shoot film and TV, and the way that I think I've been able to make this YouTube show work is when I'm on planes and other people are sleeping. You know, like I had, you know, 30-hour flights on some of these travel engagements I had for shows. So it's like when you're on a plane that long, that's a lot of time that I can get editing in. And because a lot of this stuff was done during COVID, and since, as you mentioned, I am a married man, usually I'm not going out to the bars partying at night. I'm staying in at the hotel room. I'm FaceTiming with my wife and my son, and then I'm editing. So it's like I do a lot of editing in hotel rooms and airplanes, or as you saw, at breakfast. So that way, the minute that I'm not working for whatever company I'm working for, I'm then working for myself. And that allows me to, as you would say, like double up on making money, because it's like, okay, I'm making money on the show that I'm filming. But the minute that I'm not making money for them, but my time is, I'm in Africa or I'm in wherever in the world and I can't, you know, go home, right? Because I'm stuck. Then it's like I'm able to just keep making money by keep editing, you know, for the show. And then usually what I do is, because as you know, our schedules when we film for TV and film, it's so random. Usually the minute that I know we're going to fly back, I will try to book time to then shoot more episodes. So it's like, okay, you know, let's say it's January and I know I'm flying back February 2nd, then I'll try to schedule something around February 7th, just in case they push anything and I don't schedule something and I don't arrive. Mm-hmm. So then we'll come back here. We'll shoot a bunch of episodes. And then usually I fly out again and I just keep storing up episodes and I just keep cutting. We usually shoot we've shot 31 games so far for our show, but we've only aired 15.
What?
So it's like, I have a backlog of games. And what does that do? That allows me to pick and choose the best games. That also allows me, if a game didn't go well, I can just not air that game. And then I'm not freaked out like, oh my God, I'm going to run out of stuff to edit. I'm not going to run out. I have plenty of content that I can keep digging from, so that if I keep traveling around the world, I have plenty of games to keep editing. So that's another way that I'm, you know, trying to make sure that every 2 weeks we are consistent. We are I Hate Your Deck Fridays, you know?
Yeah.
That we're always...
one question, man, because please take notes, people, because you hear some incredible stuff right here, and there's so much abundance, and this is often what people are struggling with. Like, yeah, we see the opportunity, but hey, I have a job, I have bills, I have this. Where do I? Well, like you heard Michael just say, like, just getting started, just doing it aside from your job or whatever currently is paying you, finding the time, and obviously, like, it also takes a good look at yourself. Like, am I really spending my time on a daily basis effectively, right? I see you sitting at breakfast. I see you with your laptop. I see you, like you just explained, on the airplane. These are moments that you can grasp and that you can use to work on your business, to work on your YouTube or whatever you're doing or aspiring to do aside from what you're doing now. Because a lot of times it's overwhelming for people like to start, but it's usually... just taking a good look and self-assessing where, you know, hey, what am I doing right now effectively with my day? And it's not always a good answer, but it takes, and it requires a lot of, you know, courage to do that. So I thank you for sharing that. One more thing that I wanted to talk about is, you say, like you mentioned it a few times, authenticity, right? I think I struggle with this a lot of times myself, where, you know, I share on my Instagram a very highlighted version of my life, but not so much the backstory, you know, the content, the editing and everything. When we, and I don't know if you do this, but when we create a team around us, when we outsource, like I have my editor, I have my podcast, that I have this, I have, you know, somebody for this, I'm like, how can you stick to that true authenticity? Like, nobody edits the way you do. Nobody sees the program the way you do. Like, where are you right now? And do you do everything yourself? And if not, how do you stay true to that authenticity with your show while outsourcing?
So that's a really good question. Because this has been a question that has come up a lot, especially with people wanting our show to become weekly. Mm-hmm. We have, ever since, I want to say episode 2 or 3, we've had people that have offered to help me edit, that have offered to do all these things, but I've been editing for over 20 years. Like, I'm really good at it. So it's very hard for me to want to let go of that, especially while I'm establishing our brand. Like, right now, I feel like I'm establishing what I Hate Your Deck is. You know, when we did episode 1, people still weren't sure what our show was going to be about, because they only had one episode. When we did episode 2, people are like, you know, my co-host just pub stumped everyone in episode 2, right? He just killed everyone. We didn't get to do much. So people are like, wow, is this what the show is going to be? Just someone's killing everyone and no one puts up a fight? I don't like that. You know, then episode 3 came out. Episode 3 was a more balanced game. People liked it. And so now that we've had 13 official episodes, 2 bonus episodes, that were paid that started out as Patreon exclusive episodes. So we have 15 total, but 13 that are like the official I Hate Your Deck number, you know, 1 through 13. Now people know what our show is. Mm-hmm. Now people know that our show is not a pub stomp. They have an idea what it is. And even when we got our new sponsor said, Hey Lynch, how can we help you pump these out faster? You know, can we give you an editor? And my answer is just no. So right now, you know, how we make the show, usually it's, you know, the last episode we just dropped on YouTube, the one that is, with the professor of Tulane College and Kyle Hill, the one that has like 88,000 views right now. Mm-hmm. That episode, I had to build all three cameras myself. I had to light the whole thing myself because I was supposed to get help, but my friend ended up not being able to make it. So I'm lighting it myself. I'm putting the cameras up. We did have enough of a budget to hire an audio guy. So we had an audio guy actually lock people up because I did not want to be responsible for the audio as well. Even though in the past I've done that. In the past, I've had to mic everyone. And then while I'm playing the game, I'm also monitoring the audio. But since we are kind of getting bigger and we're having more celebrity guests now, I really wanted to make sure the audio was good. So the audio is the one place I have let go of control, and I've hired a professional who I've worked with on TV shows and movies. Mm-hmm. But for the most part on set though, like I'm doing everything. I'm making sure that everything is set up. And then when we go to post-production, it's just all me again. I'm the one editing everything. I'm the one putting everything on the videos. Now my co-host Joe, who's an actor, we have divided and conquered, because I think a big success to a lot of projects is if you have a partnership, that your partnership is symbiotic, that you guys really grow together. Mm-hmm. So for example, my co-host Joe had Magic is owned by Wizards of the Coast. Wizards of the Coast has seen our show do well and has since hired my co-host to be in commercials. So he's now been in a couple of Magic commercials lately. Now, if I was a jealous person, I could be like, why aren't they casting me? But I'm not an actor.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's not what I want to do. So it's like, I'm happy for him that he's doing that. There's no anger there, you know? You know, Joe doesn't want to edit the episodes. He doesn't care about that. He just, you know, so we divide and conquer. So Joe does TikToks. He usually does 3 TikToks a day that just show random funny Magic stuff to keep bringing in people. So, you know, I do all of the filmmaking part of I Hate Your Deck. And then I have Joe really pushing, you know, the promotion side of dealing with that. And then even with our sponsors, Joe deals with half our sponsors. I deal with half our sponsors. So I think that, you know, the fact that Joe and I are different people and we're both trying to do different things, I think is also really making this partnership flourish. And the fact that neither one of us gets jealous about the other one, I think again, it makes the relationship that I have with my partner extremely healthy. And then, and as you use the words, we keep being extremely productive,
mm-hmm.
Because the fact that we have one goal, have fun, play Magic, delivering amazing content.
Love that.
You know, when you talk about authenticity, when you talk about all this stuff, it's like, we are bleeding authenticity. We are bleeding passion. that's all people are going to see with our show. And I think that has become infectious, you know, with obviously at least 33,000 people, you know, but I think that that's a big thing, man. If you want something, you have to take the time to sacrifice to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are a lot of people that talk about doing things, but they never, you know, put the energy to start it.
And that was my next question. I love how you brought that up. I was going to ask you, what advice can you give out to people starting out? But
I would say that there's two, as someone who has produced 10 feature films, because I've produced a lot of feature films too, I've had to create content. My company's called We Push Trains, because no one likes to hop on a moving train, but everyone, So, you know, everyone likes to hop on a moving train, but no one likes to help push it, right? Mm-hmm. And my company helps push trains. We help get an idea started and finished. And I think the two hardest things for people creating content is starting and finishing.
Mm-hmm.
I think people are able to handle a lot of the middle stuff, but I think getting started, when you have an idea and actually pushing past that fear, mm-hmm. pushing past that struggle, pushing past the unknown is very hard. And then some people are great at starting things, but then they just don't know how to finish them. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll do all the starting, they'll do stuff, they feel it's too hard, they don't finish. And I think, you know, and one point that was almost me. I almost was going to keep waiting to do I Hate Your Deck until I had everything perfect. Mm-hmm. Until I had all the right cameras, all the whatever. But the first six episodes, we had two good cameras in the ground, but the overhead camera for the board was an iPhone.
Wow, yeah.
You know, and now we use a 4K camera. You know, now we use a really expensive camera for the overhead. So it looks better. But actually, the professor of Tulare College during quarantine made a video that I watched where he said, don't wait till everything's perfect. Stuff isn't going to be perfect. If you have an idea, just go make it now. And when he said that on his show, that resonated with me because I was keep telling myself, no, we can't do I Hate Your Deck yet. You know, I wanted to do I Hate Your Deck probably a year before I actually made it. And watching that video, you know, quarantine was still happening, so we couldn't really do anything, but I was still working in film. So when we first started shooting I Hate Your Deck, like, people had to get COVID tested. We had to have all these protocols, you know, temperature checking at the door. Only people that couldn't wear masks was for filming only, and then we had to put masks back on. Oh, so, you know, it was very strict when we first started. So even with all those hiccups of having to get COVID tested, we still were able to start our show. And I think that was some of the best advice I'd ever gotten, was from the professor saying, don't wait, just do it. And we did it, you know. And like I said, we dropped our first episode. As soon as we dropped our first episode, I had to fly to Africa for a job. And then while I was in Africa, our show was just blowing up. And that's when we realized, oh crap, we're going to piss people off if we only release one episode a month. Because originally our plan was one episode a month. That was our plan. One episode a month, right?
Uh-huh.
And now we're doing two episodes a month, sometimes three episodes a month.
Yeah.
And our fans want us to go weekly. So they want four episodes a month. You know,
so, I love it.
So now our thing is, how do we make sure we keep our fans happy? How do we keep them around?
Yeah.
And now we've brought them into that process. You want to stay around, join our Patreon. You want us to stay around, buy your cards or stuff from this, our sponsor, so that we get a percentage back. So we have many ways now that we can incentivize. If you want to help us, if you want to see this keep coming, we do need, you know, money so that this can continue to be a viable thing for us.
Uh-huh.
And like you said, hey man, what happens when certain TV jobs, certain film jobs dry up? If this job can, you know, this thing can now become a full job where I'm not having to worry about someone else hiring me, I can just be myself. Like, I'm creating the opportunity.
Absolutely.
Okay. I pick whoever guest I want. We're going to go film playing this magic game. I edit it. I release it on YouTube. Done. Doesn't require me to deal with anyone else,
mm-hmm.
but me, my co-host, and the guests. And there's a lot of power. Of
your life.
Yeah, there's a lot of power in that, mm-hmm. Jesse.
Yeah.
There's a lot of power in being like, I am controlling something so that if I need to make money because if this month I don't get hired for a job, I'm not having to eat my savings now.
Yeah.
You know, I'm able to continue to pull this out without feeling stressed and without feeling all this other stuff that you can feel that can freak you out. And, you know, so far it's been working since January.
Beautiful, man. Beautiful story. I have so many more questions, man. Like, I can keep going for hours with you. I listen, sometimes you just meet people, right? And it's like you feel their vibe, you feel their frequency, and it just matches. And that's why we are here doing this podcast right now, because I want you guys to hear this amazing story. Michael, I have one more question before we close this for now, but what is next for you? Now your brand is growing and the YouTube will grow and grow. Are you working on your personal brand as well? Your Instagram, or is personal brand not something you are really worried about? Like, what's next?
That's a very interesting question. And I think I'm still figuring that out. Mm-hmm. You know, since I come from a film background, I usually end up pushing the brand, right? Like my movie, or like I Hate Your Deck. So I'm really focused on pushing I Hate Your Deck. But because I am, for the first time, an on-camera personality now, mm-hmm. my personal brand is being pushed with this. And I do get a lot of people that are adding me, like I mentioned. So I'm trying to figure that out right now. I'm trying to figure out how much do I, you know, want to be out there? How much do I not want to be out there? So that's something that I think still working on. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I 100% try to push people to I Hate Your Deck, but then a lot of people are coming to me. I usually don't have that much time to tweet. Like when I do tweet, it's usually promoting the new episode or occasionally engaging. Cause the most part I'm usually working. Yeah. I work a lot. And when I'm not working, you know, like I said, I'm editing, or if I'm home, because I've been gone for a month in whatever country that I was in filming, I come home, my wife's like, it's time for daddy time. You need to be a dad. Mommy needs to go get a mani-pedi. Mommy needs to go do this. Mommy needs to go shop. Yeah. You stay home. So, you know, it's like, I don't have as much time as I would think. So I try to prioritize that time. So I do have all my personals out there. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say I'm actively pushing my personals.
Well, here's your opportunity right now.
Yeah. Like,
if you want to think about it a little longer, I can also add it in the description, but
I would love for people
to check you out.
No, yeah, well, they can check on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at Michael D. Lynch. Mm-hmm. And they can also find I_hate_your_deck. I Hate Your Deck. But yeah, Michael D. Lynch is me on Instagram and Twitter.
Amazing. Michael, thank you so much for your time. And again, it was such a pleasure, you know, working with you, but also, you know, listening to you and your story again. It always brings a big smile to my face, and you're doing beautiful things. And I think it's very inspiring for even me and people listening that the creator economy is very real. It can start with a passion. It can start with an idea, and it can become a monetizable and source of income eventually. So thank you so much, Michael. I look forward to working again.
Absolutely, man. Thank you so much for having me on. And I'm glad we could chat and hopefully share some knowledge that get and some other people inspired to create something they're super passionate about.
Absolutely, man. Thank you so much. I don't know when I'm going to see you again, but hopefully soon. I have a feeling it will be soon, but it's a different topic. And I see you later, my man. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Life Talk with Jesse Meester. Thanks for listening to the show. We hope you've gotten some useful and practical information. Make sure to like, rate, and review. And we'll be back soon. And if you want to be the next guest, please apply by filling in the contact form on jessemeester.com or DM Meester Store on Instagram. Till next time, keep sharing love and life.